kneeling by my bed, folded hands and tilted head. I thank the Lord for my water and my bread. Thankful to be a part of God's flock of chosen sheep, waking from my slumber while the world is still asleep. Freedom loving, patriotic, deplorable bum. I reside in the States, but Scotland is where I'm from. Sometimes I feel defeated, but we will always stand tall. Fighting with my family, we go on, we go on. We may fall. Our Bibles and talk of bread and wine, indoctrinate our children, throw the world into decline. We the people need to stand firm and understand, without liberty and freedom, all we have is dirt and land. Holding the sword high, we'll stand firmly through the pain. What I have lost is what the wisdom I have gained. If you find me on my knees, it's not because I'm defeated. It was my prayer before the war, the only weapon I needed. I will be your servant and the warrior whose soul you will take. And we may fall, holding the line. Yeah, we may fall, but we'll be fine. The world will see the global crimes. Oh, the veil will lift.
We are many nations and many cultures around the world. Together, we fight a war between good and evil. But we are united as one, as the children of God.
Good evening, family. How is everybody doing tonight? This is going to be Kilted Christian episode 580 over on Podbean, episode 2 over here in Rumble, still calling it episode 580. And we've got Grace going forward on Wednesdays, Patriot Transition Voice back together, Steve Lundgren's here, and we've got an amazing guest tonight. I love her already. You guys are going to love her as much. Her name is Patricia Silva. She's going to tell a phenomenal story, and boy, she loved God as much as all of us. Knows exactly where our faith goes and exactly who we are serving on this earth. So before we get into the show real quick, before I bring them in, just gonna let you guys know, I heard a lot of people were interested in the hoodie that I wore last night on the show. So we're going to, so I Hope reached out to me, Tam reached out to me, Kitty reached out to me, and we're going to build a email just specifically for orders to keep it a little bit more organized. And we're going to let me know if you guys are more interested. I ordered some more vinyl because I have one that I'm making to send over to someone that I owe from a couple of weeks back. We're going to get this going again, but I'm going to be doing them in pink, fluorescent pink, the fluorescent yellow, and I'm going to be doing them in white as well. All the sleeves come with John 3:16, KC on the other side, the KC logo on the front, and a big Kilted Christian logo on the back. So if you guys are interested, we will keep you updated, let you know exactly what the prices are going to be and everything, because Bidenomics isn't doing us any favors and the price of everything are going up. And you guys know that I like to make these as cheap as, or inexpensive as possible. Not cheap, inexpensive, that being said. So guys, we're going to go ahead and bring in our wonderful guest this evening. So we're going to open it up and say hello to, we'll say hello to Steve first. Steve, we're here, man. Wednesdays, man. This is going to be great going forward. This is our first show back together at Patriot Transition Voice.
Yeah, Doug, I'm so excited to be back with you. You know, this is the first time I sat at this computer since our last show that we did together.
You had to dust it off.
I had to dust it off and try to remember my password. That took a minute. And but I'm excited. I'm excited for this journey that you and I started a while ago, and to be back in this journey with you.
I'm excited too. I want to say real quick, I'll get used to working the OBS, directing and hosting and so forth, and I'll be back and chat a little bit more. So I apologize for not saying hello to everybody like I usually do. So I love you all. God bless. And thank you so much for joining this evening. And we're going to introduce our guest now, the guest of the evening. Like I said, I already absolutely adore. You guys will too. Patricia Silva, how are you doing?
I am honored. I just want to say thank you so much, especially since this is your very first come back together.
Oh,
I
yes.
called a Jesus meeting.
Amen.
Your first time coming back together and sharing the gospel and sharing the news and sharing hope. That's what I see. I'm good. Answer your question.
You,
I'm good.
You said before we even started the show, would you guys, you know, would you mind taking a moment to pray? And I will take any moment to pray. And I love to hear when my guests come on to say that, because this is what it's all about right now. We have some powerful gifts from God, and two of those are testimonies of what we're doing and prayer. And you're bringing a wonderful testimony tonight about an experience that you had. You know, we line up most importantly scripturally, but we also line up, you know, politically right now in a world of turmoil. And I think a lot of people are realizing that the politics aren't the big deal, because both sides are questionable. One side's way more questionable, but the problem is one side's more open than the other one is. You know, our side seems to hide a little bit better. You know, there's some other corruption, but we do still have some good people out there. But one thing is, we're the citizens. You know, we have given too much power to our government, and we need to take that power back, because we are the ones that are their bosses. And right now, they like to convince the world that they are our bosses. And I'm just going to let you tell your story, take it away, and let you do your thing and let everybody know your story and anything else you want to talk about. We're going to have a good little back and forth. Okay.
Well, thank you, Duncan. And, you know, I just really admire that you have John 3:16 on your sleeve. That's one of the scriptures that when someone wants to talk to me, that's the first question I ask them. Do you know John 3:16? Because that's a way you can open up a really sweet conversation about Jesus.
Amen. I'm a walking billboard for that reason. Is it?
Yes, you are. I'm probably going to have one of those shirts, just so you know.
We'll make it happen.
real quick. Marcy said you left out fluorescent purple.
Oh, I will make a special fluorescent purple for our purple patriot. I can promise her that. She's my sister's. That's going to happen.
And okay, so hockeys. I'm going to have one too.
Oh yeah, I will do so. I will make sure to get some hot purple vinyl that glows in a black light.
There you go.
Well, you guys, again, I'm so honored that you invited me onto this show tonight. There is so much to talk about, and I will begin to say, you know, I'm oftentimes asked, Patricia, are you aware of the crimes against transgender? And my answer is always, absolutely, I do. But I also know even more so the crimes against women and against our children by the way of the transgender. And I'm going to, that's just a segue for me to say, you, me, the cisgender, the transgender, the non-binary gender, we are all God's children. We can't lose sight of that.
Amen.
And having said that, we need to acknowledge that, yes, I have had wrong against me with my situation with the Planet Fitness, which I will tell that story, but I'm not believing that I'm better than a transgender that walks on this earth, because I'm going to give you some information that'll maybe even help the listeners be a little bit sympathetic to them, but have your boundaries. Stand, let your voice be heard. You know, God made male and female, you know, and anything outside of that is a choice, but God did not choose anything outside of that. So let's just start right there. So one of the things I wanted to say is that my stand, my movement is for women's rights, to protect women's rights, and also to protect our children. And if we go back to 1848, you guys probably know the name of Elizabeth Staunt. She went to a tea party. It was four women, and they had this conversation about women's rights. We need women's rights. Well, they stood for women's rights back in 1848. I'll say that date again, because it was a very long time ago, and there's several generations now it's removed, and they don't know they had to fight for women's rights. But what they did is they did fight for women's rights, and they were kicked. They were put to death. They were scorned, but they pressed in, and they pressed in hard, and they got voting rights. And here we are today. We may or may not, and we don't have the rights that we deserve when I'm looking at our time today. So, you know, we're talking about women's rights for children. Most important to me is in the school system, you know, transgenders. Having this open door to come in and do story time with our children. We have a situation here up at our one of our high schools this week. They are having a presentation, an orientation presentation for youths to come and discuss what is their gender. And I don't know the details of that, but I've got already got people thinking about protesting that with me. So we're gonna continue to think on these things. Then there's the Riley Gaines, you know, with the sports. Well, this young lady, she had all her titles taken away, and she just got them back, and she just won a $10 million lawsuit. But I'm getting behind her. Somebody already reached out, and I'm communicating. I'm trying to touch her, because we need to stand on every platform. And then we have my situation where I walk into Planet Fitness, and I'm going to do a workout, and you know, I'm a jolly person, so I walk into the gym just ready to go have fun, and I come face to face with a man looking straight in the mirror. His eyes caught mine, and I walked past him, and I thought, breathe. Count to 10, respond, do not react to this situation. It's a situation. So I walked back out, and when I walked back out, Duncan, I saw this girl sitting in the corner. She was a teenager. She couldn't have been more than 18. And she's sitting there all huddled over with a towel around her, naked. And she was terrified. My assumption of that situation is that she came out of the bathroom, going to her locker, noticed this man with shaving cream on his face, and she decided to go sit and wait for him to leave. That was my assumption. Well, of course, me being as bold as I am, I said, hey. He looked up, I snapped a picture of him because I wanted to give my community awareness of this situation. And so I snapped the picture and I said, you are a man in a woman's bathroom. And I said more than that. I don't know if I can say it on this channel, but I did. I said more than that. And I said, and you need to leave. And he said, well, I'm LGB transitioning. And I said, well, you still need to leave. You are being offensive, and you are a man in a woman's bathroom. So he wanted to argue. I did not. So I walked out, and I stood just outside the door of Planet Fitness, of the locker room, And they were about 20 yards away, the desk. And I said, excuse me, but there is a man in the women's bathroom and and it's not okay. A man's shaving. And I walked out the door. The guys at the front desk had their tails between their legs. And I went ahead and walked out the door. And this woman shouts after me, it's a girl. And I turned around, I swung that door wide open and I said, it's a man. And then, of course, I went to the parking lot, created a 30-second video. And later I sent it out. And somebody reaches out to me later in the evening and says, your video went viral. And I looked at my daughter and I said, what's that mean exactly? And so she discovered that, like, in less than 24 hours, I think there were 5.1 million views. And so wow. as that turned out, it was the libs of TikTok had picked it up and ran with it. And now here we are today. And it's traveled around the world. Well, 2 days later, it actually happened. So that was Monday. Tuesday, about 7:30 p.m., as I learned later on Wednesday, that I get a phone call at 8:55 a.m., and it's Planet Fitness, and they're saying, well, Miss Silva, you know, we have to cancel your membership. You know the situation. And I said, well, actually, I don't know the situation. Why don't you explain that to me? And they proceeded to say, well, you know, you crossed our policies. You took a picture of the man in the bathroom, or this woman. They called him a woman, and I do not.
No.
And so we have to cancel your membership. And I said, wait, let's hold on. I said, how did that man get past this desk to go into that women's locker room? And they said, well, he just had to self-identify. And I said, so you're telling me that no matter who you are, any pervert off the street can walk in here and go into the woman's bathroom? Well, that's our policy. And I said, okay. I said, thank you for canceling my membership because you saved me the time. And, you know, we had a little bit more conversation. I walked out the door, or I hung my phone up. I called the police because I wanted an investigation. And they basically told me to stand down. They said I had no rights, Planet Fitness policy, they're public, they can do what they want to do. Well, that's not enough. So here we are. So we're going to start right there. How's that sound?
Oh, that sounds perfect.
Okay. Wow. Well, I'm going to take this a little bit further because I did a little bit of research and there's this Journal of Pediatrics. And I wanted to know, you know, about what brought this awareness that that transgenders have this platform that overrides women's rights. So some of the things that I discovered while doing my research is that, you know, most transgenders, and it really did speak at for the masses, and they didn't leave anybody out, but transgenders, most of them have gone through some really tough times as children.
Yes.
They were raised and they had an onset of mental illness. They've had mental health issues, and they're 3 to 5 times more likely to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So we do know that, but we also know that in 2022, their study shows that 26% of transgenders who were victims of death, these crimes committed against the transgenders at that time are known as their romantic relationships they've had in the past, their family members, and their friends. And 26% is a big number. And we're in 2024. So I would imagine that's only expanded over time.
Oh, yes,
that
definitely.
That number has increased. So here we are. When we have a problem like this, I think the question we have to ask is, because we know that for every problem, there's a solution. For every, you know, we know that, right? For every question, there's an answer. So what is the problem and how did it begin? Where did this movement begin and who promoted it? Well, I know that Beijing Biden, can I say that? Sorry.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Beijing Biden, we do know that he tried to cancel Easter, slandering Christ,
mm-hmm.
thinking that he created that transgender awareness for March 31st. But what we do know, factually, is that President Obama era with Biden, they actually had created that awareness day back during that time. So here we are celebrating this very dysfunctional situation and trying to cancel Christ. But I'll tell you, there was enough people that stood up for it. You think that people stood up for the little 30-second video that I sent out? No. A lot of people. I mean, people in the masses in my circumference of influence did not honor that. So again, here we are. And then we know that the first day, the very first day of Biden administration, he announces that he's having a rainbow party at the White House. And what we know today, just a couple days ago, maybe a week ago, is his drag queen that he showcases has committed crimes against young men and has been arrested. So we got to get excited about things like that, because I know we talk about our country being in a disarray and just messed up. But you know, here's what you know. You gentlemen, you both know this. God wins every time. Always. Yes, we are going through this, but we know God wins. You were going to say something, Duncan?
I'm saying God always wins. And that's the one thing that keeps me calm during all of this chaos, is that we know God wins.
Mm-hmm. And here's the good, that's part of the good news. But I know there are people worried about our country right now. We are going through a tough time, and we've been going through a tough time. But I know a little bit more than what I would like to know about what's really going on in our country and our world. Things that, when I was running for borough assembly, I got shut down. I mean, there are these far left demons that came at me and they just tried to hurt my feelings. And so they would do front page write-ups of me as a conspiracy theorist. And I mean, I love that. I should make a shirt, and you should make it actually, and sell it to me. I'll buy it, make you some money. I may be a conspiracy theorist, but all my conspiracies have come true. So I need some new ones.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm standing with that right now. So I hope we get into more conversations about some of the politics that we're about to talk about.
Oh, we will.
But I do want to acknowledge a few more things before we go into that. I'd like to note that in 2021, there was the 117th Circuit Congress that enacted the Equality Act. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, what that Equality Act basically says is that our government was forcing companies to open their and allow men into women's restrooms and their public spaces. And so, again, here we are. You know, if you ask, where did it start and how is this brew going to turn out? Well, the fact is, we know a lot. And yes, it does look, it looks very painful. It feels painful. But again, we know that God wins. So I'm excited to say that, yes, I did plant a seed, a 30-second seed that traveled now around the world. And I only know that because there's people reaching out wanting support in their endeavors. These countries that are communists, that can't speak out, they would like some help from all of us, and we should do that. But here's the other thing. Yes, I did plant that seed, but it was the masses who made it happen. It was not me. It was people that found their voice. They decided, oh my gosh, it is okay to say something out loud. And so they began doing that. And that excites me so much, because if you're not intentional about what you think, and what you do and what you say that's going to make a difference in the world, your children, future generations, if we don't speak out now, you lose it. And that's where we are right now with this woke transgender. And it's not, this is not about transgender, but that's what I'm dealing with right now, is trying to find the boundary that says you get to be you. You are a spiritual being having a human experience, just like me. Mm-hmm. So you get to be you, but you have to respect my space And respect is earned. It's not given. And I will respect yours, but there is boundaries. And you, and we have to create them.
100%. You know, it's we're in such weird times right now. And the one thing that I notice that everything has in common, because you said, you know, that right now transgender is the focus, you know, for you, but it goes so many different levels. And the one thing that it all has in common is confusing the younger generation, indoctrinating even some of the older generation, because it's the kids that don't have the mental illness. It's the parents that are allowing this to go forth. But my big question is, you know, women fought for equality. Not they've taken the word equality out and replaced it with equity. Yeah. Equity, you know. But women fought for these rights for so long, and all of a sudden now these men are coming in, trying to jump into the game. Where are the majority of the women right now? Where are all the quote, you know, progressive feminists? Why aren't they as upset about what's going on as we are?
I'm so glad that you brought that up. But go ahead, Steve.
I was just going to say real quick that there seems to be a huge movement in the women's sports. They're really coming around and speaking out against it. And I applaud them, because the battle is equality, supposedly. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not equal for a woman to compete against a biological man.
No.
No. So, you know, that takes us back to the Obama-O'Biden era. Mm-hmm. So we do know that Biden has Obama in his ear. He doesn't make a move without it.
Nope.
But what we have to do is we have to actually go back there and realize that it was during that era that they began separating the people, the black from the white, the Muslims from the Asians, the, you know, this, that, and the other, our children from their parents. I mean, it, and the husbands from the wives. That's when that happened. And it's very important that we as concerned citizens, again, what you were just saying, Steve, speak up. You have to speak up. If you don't speak up now, we will lose ground as women. We fought too daggum hard to not achieve that goal. You know, we want to preserve our children's rights. We want to preserve our future generations. And I'm going to segue into something else now, because it's because of the people who have been speaking up, the masses that I just spoke of. I mean, it was, what, $400 million in 5 days that Planet Fitness lost in stock?
Yes.
It was more than 350,000 memberships and hundreds and thousands a day that are still being canceled. I have people reaching out to me every day saying, I canceled my membership. And I'm like, keep it up, because until they change their policy, cancel your membership. And that is something I want to talk about now. Did you see the news about New Hampshire?
No.
No.
Well, let me share it. Did you say yes or no, Steve?
No, I hadn't seen that yet.
Okay. Well, let me tell you what it is. So let me give you a scenario. So Planet Fitness took a man who was intimidated by men in a men's restroom and took him out of there and put him in the woman's locker room, right? Where he is intimidating women. And then when a woman complains that he's intimidating them, they say, Planet Fitness has said, if this intimidates you, you can go to a stall. That's a safe place for you if it bothers you. So New Hampshire, boasting as if it's something to boast about, and I want the public to hear me on this one. Do not honor that. They created a third space. Mm-hmm. Now, you would think that that third space would be for transgender non-binary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not. So what New Hampshire did is they created this third space, increased their rates for women. Now you can pay more to come to my gym. And if you're really intimidated by this man or these men in the women's locker room, then you can go into this third space, which is probably smaller. I want to go over there and take a look at it, not myself. Mm-hmm. So they created this third space. So what they do, they took the man out of the woman's, put him in the woman's, created another man's space, and then move women completely out. Women, are you peeved about that? Are you ready to stand up and say something out loud like, hell no? And so that's where we're at with this. And again, this is just woke, just trying to take a twist on this as if they're doing something kind for women at Planet Fitness. They are not. They have slandered us even more.
So it's really cool for me, just being a fellow Alaskan, was I came across your story right away because we were actually friends on Facebook already. Mm-hmm. And I was amazed. At first, I thought it was the Planet Fitness that was down here in Anchorage, just down the street. But lo and behold, it's from my hometown where I was born. And you just blew up from that point. I can't believe some of the shows that you've been on. You've been on with Shemaine. You've been on Newsmax. You've been on, even the European London News Daily Mail even was running stories. You've been all over. What's that feel like?
Well, I haven't given that much thought, to be honest with you, because I'm really trying to focus on why I'm doing this. And, you know, I had somebody ask me the other day, you know, Patricia, think about why you're doing it. Are you doing it for yourself or you're doing it for God's movement? And I wept, because for anybody to see me outside of doing this for the right reasons, and which is, you know, it's my Christ-like heart, for one thing, for the people, and my passion for children, there's no other reason to do it. It is not about me, but I don't even know where all my video has gone, because I just haven't researched it. But a lot of people are sending me things. I mean, I'm getting new things every single day. I think you may have even sent me something here recently, and it was just impactful because I hadn't seen that yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so grateful that God would use someone like me. And he's given me, and I'll share it with you now, he has placed his armor on me, given me the breastplate of righteousness. He's given me the sword. He's given me the truth. He's given me the light. He's given me just a warrior's armor. And I am not afraid. And you can imagine how many people came out of the woodwork since this went out across the world and has threatened my life. Well, when Newsmax gave me an interview, they asked me that very question. You know, have you been threatened, Patricia? And I said, you know what? Absolutely. You know, you have one person coming out. You have so many. And the liberals were called the far left liberals, not just liberals, because there's a lot of liberals that are in the middle of the road that have, you know, America first in their heart. But the far left liberals were threatening to come gather in my driveway. So that's what I told Newsmax. And I said, and here's the interesting thing. I said, we are Alaskans and we have concealed carry permits and we know how to protect ourselves. I did not say I'm a girl with a gun. Don't come to my house. But basically, that's what I said. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, that wasn't threatening anyone. It was like, don't threaten me. Do not do that. I am a woman with a passion and a vision to help free women from the bondage that is being taken from us now. The bondage is being provoked upon us to take us way back to losing our women's rights. That's my heart. I mean, we do have that umbrella, and that's the head of the umbrella. And below that is the women's sports we're talking about. You know, not just, I mean, I admire Riley Gaines so much. I mean, she and 15 other collegiate athletes, they have stood strong against the NCAA. They were suing them. And mm-hmm. they stood there anyway. They were ready to give up everything that they worked so hard for. Well, when you ask me the question, how does it feel? Sometimes I'm very emotional over it because I'm so proud of everybody who stepped up and canceled their memberships, men who stood up and said, I am canceling my family's membership because I need for my family to feel safe. I mean, there's just been so many comments about, you know, standing up. But just well, like the, you said, go ahead, Steve.
Just real quick, the power of the men that have been stepping up, the fathers of the family that are concerned for their daughters and yes. their wives, the those people have been speaking just as loud as the women.
Yes. Absolutely. And, you know, and here's the truth. I do know of different organizations who have spoken up and who've made a difference and who have, like I said, Alex Jones, he did a wonderful piece on InfoWars. You know, I had an opportunity to speak with Shemaine. I love her name and I messed it up on radio, but or on her podcast. But I just absolutely appreciate everyone who cares enough about this movement to ask for an interview. Now, CNN recently asked me for an interview. I said, if you do it live, I'll give you my time. Don't do it live, you don't get my time. Because that could get so twisted up, you know, so quick. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so here we are. You know, and I have people asking me, so what's next, Patricia? What do you do next? You know, how do you feel about, you know, the next stand? Well, I'm here for the long haul. And think about it. I mean, this is the tip of the iceberg. I mean, I don't even think we've exposed enough right now. And for even New Hampshire to disregard women yet again by giving us a little space to get out of our locker room in case we don't feel good. Oh my gosh, that is like a slap in the face. And I'm getting ready to slap them right back. And I'm starting right here with you guys. But I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean that, you know, you don't get to continue degrading and depreciating women and offering this menial thing to bring them back into your property. I'm hoping that women will say, heck no, I am not going to go back ever to Planet Fitness, and just make a bigger statement, continue to cancel, picket those properties. You know, are you aware, Steve, you might be aware because you're from Alaska, that Planet Fitness opens their doors in the summertime to youths.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that they were letting in high school students for free this summer.
They do. And this isn't the first year they've done that, but how long have they really been allowing transgender in the bathrooms, right? And it hasn't been as long as I've had a membership. And there was a time when, I mean, even now they say, you know, it's protecting everyone and, you know, we're, you know, be conscientious of the other person. Well, that is not their stand and never has been.
Right. And then when he first, the person you're speaking of in your own locker room, he first, when he joined that club, was using the men's locker room.
And my knowledge, Steve, is that from two other men in this community said sometimes he comes into the men's locker room. So whatever is comfortable with him, he probably does it. Mm-hmm. I call that a pervert. And, you know, sad that he's allowed to do that. And, you know, there's this one group of non-binary group. They're called flow gender or flow gender. Mm-hmm. And so they sometimes are a man, sometimes a woman. So that's what it appears that this person is. Someone reached out to me today and told me a whole slew of history about this person, but there wasn't enough information to validate it. So I could not go find it to validate it because I would be speaking of that on this show. And if the character of this person that was explained to me is true, then there is a real situation at Planet Fitness. I mean, it will bite them harder than what it is now. They think 400 million. Actually, the last number that I heard that they had lost was 1.5 billion. You know, and I know they started climbing again, but I think that's probably part of, I know a lot of the transgenders are getting their memberships to help Planet Fitness to increase their sales and their markets, mm-hmm. their stocks. And then there's people who are taking advantage of that low number. I mean, they hit rock bottom and they're hoping that they go back up a little bit so they make some money. I mean, that's a smart investment, but you know, pull out as soon as you see it come back down, because it will go back down. I believe it will.
It will. Yeah, so even Sylvester Stallone stepped down as spokesman.
He did. And I was, he was very bold in that. And I was so proud of him for doing that, because that was a big statement. And that, again, just gives more validation of how wrong Planet Fitness is about their approach with this very important issue. And so here we go again. So when New York Post reached out to me and wanted to do an interview or to follow up on a piece that they had, they had asked me, is there anything new? And at that time, I had received a message from our mayor here in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I hope there are Fairbanksians watching this right now, because you need to know this. So the mayor, so I got this message on my message that said, I need your help with something. And I sent a message back, because I know him from a long time ago. His name's David Pruse. And he said, I said, well, here's my phone number. You just call me whenever it's convenient for you. Gave me a thumbs up. Well, when New York Post reached out to me, they asked if anything new. And I said, yeah, it appears that our mayor has reached out. And so I'm looking forward to having a conversation with him, because I want to talk to him about the bathroom bill, because I would like to get that written and have the legislators take it to Juneau for a vote. And that's what I said to them. Well, I got off the phone, and 5 minutes later, I get a call from David Pruse, our mayor, and he is screaming at me, cussing at me, using the F word. I mean, just going nuts and screaming at me and saying, why would you bring my name into this issue? You're wasting your time trying to talk to our legislators. We're not going to send that to Juneau. You're not going to get it passed. You're wasting the taxpayers' money. Lose my number. And he hung up on me. I wish I had taped that. Of course, how are you going to tape something like that when you don't know it's coming?
Yeah.
But this is a person who has said, and then he actually sent me a text. And I deleted the text because it was so ugly that I thought I should have kept that. That would have been a good piece for me to use when he tries to run for office again. I mean, that would have been such a good piece. But nevertheless, he did make a note that Planet Fitness was in the right, that they had the right to cling to their policy, and that I needed to back down. And just like the police had said, he told me the same thing, just different words. And so it was very disturbing for me to hear that.
It's so sad, you know, right now. Basically, everything is just upside down. And the thing is, though, is that, you know, as Christians, we're tolerant people. You said at the very beginning, we are no better than any of the transgenders that are out there. They're still God's children.
Exactly.
You know, it's hate the sinner, or hate the sin, not the sinner. And the problem that things have moved on to is that they're pushing everything on everybody. Look, I'm a lot of things, but I don't expect anyone to be those things unless that is, you know, in their path. And, you know, so if you want to call yourself a he, him, they, them, I can't stop you. But I can stop you from forcing me to do it. And I can also stop you from, you know, encroaching on females' areas, which it's one thing. I think it's bad enough with older women, teenagers, but it's really bad when you get the younger girls that are being put in these situations, because as we're learning and we're seeing, many of these transgenders are pedophiles as well. And I'm not saying all of them. I want to verify that, but a lot of them
absolutely
are.
Not.
And the thing is, though, is if you have a room of 10 people and you know that three of them are murderers, are you going to send your little kid in there hoping that those other, that, you know what I'm saying, that they're going to be protected by the good people? You don't take chances like that because you don't know what lies behind the door. And
exactly. This
is the big problem that I think a lot of us have is, you know, people can only be tolerant for so long before they are forced to stand up and do something. You know, even Christ, or when it's mentioned in scripture about millstones, we're going to need more millstones at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, though, is, you know, you said something perfect earlier, is that a lot of these children, they grow up in crazy situations. They grow up maybe in an abusive situation. Maybe they were violated by family members or friends of the family. And, you know, I understand as a child, you can't separate. And then eventually what happens is your, the way that you look at things is completely different than the rest of your life because you're on guard all the time. But now it's the mental illness of the parents that are allowing this. You know, I won't say anyone's mentally ill for changing gender until they're 18 and they can make that choice. But there's a reason that kids can't smoke cigarettes, can't drink alcohol, can't watch movies that are rated R until a certain age. But changing your gender at 6-year-old is A-OK.
Well, and that's really the sad point of this conversation is because the transgenders have an open door to our children in the school system. And it is, I mean, I can say that without being prejudiced against transgender. They literally dress up and show up in their stilettos and however else to make an impression on these young people. And I was just reading a study the other day about that a doctor was talking about children until they had, there's a season in a child's life, every child, that they're, you know, they question a lot of things in their life, their sex, whether they should have sex, whether they shouldn't have sex, you know, all everything that is, what is good, right, and true, and what is, you know, confusing. They're confused in this very tender age group, probably 8 to 13. I didn't get that number with that doctor. I didn't get that number. But until a child has graduated from being the child, is, you know, mature, taking on responsibility, they have the right to invert or remove their breasts or take their hormones. Like you said, I wouldn't even say 18 that they're ready for that. I wouldn't even say that young. I think that if somebody could just hold on till they're 25, maybe, I don't know what that magic number is, but to make an educated decision. And I haven't quite done my research yet about that percentage of people who literally are so regretful that their parents allowed them to do that. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be so conscientious about helping people. I mean, you know, like you both have said, you're very much in love with America. You want good things for your families and for our future generations. And so you're willing to stand in the gap. So how do we do that? Because we're going to have to be there when the people fall, because they will fall, because God does win every time. And so they will fall. And that's where we have to remember to bring in kindness, to be kind in a difficult situation. And this is a difficult situation for me, because I'm getting hit from every side, as you can imagine, you know, with all kinds of opinions about me, my opinions and so forth and so on. But we can't stop. We can't stop with this movement.
No, I totally agree with everything you said. And I just want to make a point, too, that I, too, believe like you that these are all God's children. And I do believe that's why the suicide rate is so high, so much higher amongst the community of the transgender, is because then they get to that point where they just realize they made a huge mistake and there's no turning back.
No, there isn't. No.
The mental damage that they've done is too overbearing. And the people that are around them that allowed them to do this, and, you know, the parents, I can't believe the parents allowing this to happen.
Well, I think it's tragic that anyone would dismember their body intentionally. I think that is such a tragedy in itself. And, you know, I mean, you have to be sympathetic to everybody. I mean, I really am in this whole scenario. And here's an example. You're probably aware of the incident that happened in the girls' bathroom in Oklahoma, where three girls, they tried to stand up for their women's rights by asking this transgender to leave the bathroom, didn't, and they beat him to death. Now, that's tragic. But who's responsible for that?
See, and they didn't in the long run. See, it turned out that they beat, you know, they obviously got into a fight, but she went home and she overdosed on drugs. So, but
that was not part of the story.
Yeah, that's because they released the story before they actually got the medical, mm-hmm. the coroner's report. So it turned out that this girl had been abused by her father. And when she went home, she had a combination of drugs that ultimately ended up killing her. So it may have been an accidental suicide, but it had nothing to do with the actual fight itself, other than maybe her going home and or him going home and taking these drugs. But the doctors actually came forth and said that it wasn't related to one or the other. It was literally the drugs that killed her. So they would put it down as a suicide. But
that part of the story got put back on the back page. Well, the front story that MS mainstream media ran with is that these girls beat a transgender to death.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I found online, because I did hear about it. And that's the only thing I found. So thank you, Duncan, for sharing that with me, because I need to know that. I want those facts written down and sent to me.
I've gotten really good at watching the news, because I know that the first headline or the first narrative that they release, Steve and I have a rule. It's called a 48-hour rule. So we always wait 48 hours to see how things are going to unfold. And this one ended up going the opposite direction. The problem, though, is it's the same thing they always do. If they ever correct their story, it's at the very bottom of the original story they wrote. But they do that so they can gaslight everybody, say, well, we fixed the story if someone asks. But they push, this is how they create the division, and they create the hate. So they could call these people Christian extremists or Christian nationalists or whatever new word they're going to come up with today.
Yeah. So we know that was a tragedy. But again, who's to blame? Partly it's the school boards who vote to allow transgender in the school, that don't separate the bathrooms or create a safe space for the transgender non-binary restroom. That should be mandatory, right? And then if you take that just one step further, again, it goes way back up to the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's who's responsible. But then in our era, it is Biden administration. And again, having a rainbow party at the White House to acknowledge and to celebrate this group of people who are so confused. I mean, in many cases, but not all of them, there's a derangement that's taken place. I mean, it's what I said, when you start chopping off your parts or inverting them or just mutilating your body. And part of that is from, if you think about it, if a child is raised and they're having cigarettes put out on their body, that ends it for them right there.
Yes.
They're dysfunctional the rest of their lives. And having someone abuse them as a child that would cause them this type of derangement, I mean, that's the parents. I mean, look at Jennifer Gardner right now and Lopez. Yeah. Now, here's these two mothers in the light celebrating their young teenage kids, transgendering, allowing them to mutilate their bodies. I mean, that tells me that the parents have failed their children. Their parents are responsible for that. Go ahead.
In that world, in the dark part of that world, it's always the firstborn, which is it's a ritual.
Yes, it basically
Will Smith and Jada Smith, same thing with their son.
It's considered, you know, the old I own your firstborn. They have a choice. So the people that play the game, the ones that are part of the elite, the ones that I want to call it, it's a satanic system. Jeff perfectly said it earlier. You know, it's partly to blame on the Christians for not stepping up, standing up and calling this out. And this is where we need to get bold. We need to get as bold as I am about politics, about Christian values. But the thing is, though, is that, you know, you're right, is that a lot of these kids are falling into it, and demons, Satan utilizes this, because what they're pushing right now, I'm going to go through the different things. It started with the LGBTQ. And I said the OG LGBTQ just wanted to be left alone and not bullied around, maybe have a couple of rights, but they didn't push anything on you. Then they slowly built it to where now they're pushing absolutely everything on you. And no one is more upset about this other than Christians than the original LGBTQ that just wanted to be left alone. Same thing with the detransitioners. They are treated horribly right now. They're coming out and telling truth. They're saying, look, I made a mistake, and they're giving their testimonies, and they are treated worse than we are for calling this stuff out.
So I'm going to validate that with something that happened to me the other day. So I went out at one of our establishments here with some girlfriends, and I was leaving. Now, this was not long after my video had gone out. So I felt like when I was out, all the eyes were on me no matter where I went, because the video had already gone viral. This is like a week later. And so I'm walking out of this establishment, and this woman runs out of the door, and everybody knows my name now, right? And says, Patricia, and she grabs my arm and swings me around. And I thought I was getting ready to get punched, to be honest. She swung me around, and she was a big girl. And she said, Patricia, I want to thank you for standing up and speaking out. I'm Elizabeth. And all my gay friends in here, we are so upset that this transgender movement has caused so much havoc for this situation, but they're ruining our lives. We have the worst reputation because of what they're doing to our children and to our communities. Mm-hmm. So thank you. And I took a breath after she said it, because I thought, amen. You know, I have to continue to stand for mindfully for this group also. You know, I mean, just stand for everything that's good. And yes, I don't care who you are. You have an opportunity and you have a choice to be who you want to be. But identify that there is male and female. We can go back to Genesis on that. And we have a very clear understanding that the only way that changes if you make a choice. It's a choice. It's not a birthright.
Yes.
Big difference.
You know,
yeah, I'm with you on that. Duncan, do you think that this is something that you've seen in your community there in Kentucky?
Oddly enough, I'm glad you bring that up, because we live in a very Christian, extremely conservative, small community, about 2,800 people. And we still have a guy that works at our local convenience store named Ashley. I don't know if it was a guy to girl or a girl to guy, because it's kind of an ambiguous name to begin with, but we do have a transgender in this town. And here's the thing. Our schools here, they went 2 weeks further than the time that the school was supposed to start, so they could make sure that they had good teachers and they weren't just going to hire anybody, because they wanted to make sure they didn't get the progressive indoctrination. But they still have the internet, and that internet has a far reach. So they're still getting the same indoctrination, whether they're at school, whether they're on the internet or not. And they push it as this popular thing. And this is the thing, the big things that our government are pushing: homosexuality, transgender, abortion. All of these things have one thing in common: no more Christ children, no more naturally born children, you know, God's children being born, because a man and a man can't have a baby. A woman and a woman can't have a baby. If you abort a baby, you're not going to have a baby. And if you're transgender, you're not going to have a baby. So ultimately, all of this chaos that we seem kind of have the same thing, is they're trying to remove Christianity. They started in the schools, and this is why we are where we are today. They took prayers out. They took the Pledge of Allegiance out. And then eventually, they started taking the Constitution and the laws out. So kids don't know up from down. They don't know left from right any longer. And, you know, they're being taught this stuff in the schools, which is the worst part. So what happens now is the kids end up coming home, and now they're divided between their family, who has conservative values, because the schools are teaching them something different. Or even worse, the worst part are the parents that have teenagers, 18 or 19 years old, that are about to go to college. And what are we doing? We are paying for them to be indoctrinated. So we have a conservative Christian kid that goes to a college, and then they come home after their semester break for their first time, and all of a sudden they've got this hardcore progressive kid who is fighting with their parents, thinking that this is the way my professors are teaching this. It must be right. You guys are anachronisms. You're living in the wrong time. You don't understand. So they just think we're old fashioned and we're not getting with the times. The thing is that the Bible is timeless. We were told what was going to happen during these times. Jesus Christ specifically said, lovers of themselves, he may as well said, and there's going to be transvestites everywhere. And he did in his own way, but we were warned that this day was coming, and it's right in front of us.
Real quick, one question for you, Patricia. So I assume you have a church.
I do.
How has your church reacted to what's happened for you?
Well, my church is very conservative. And I feel that, so there's more to my story. I haven't, right now, and for a while now, I've had church in my home. My husband's been very ill. So we have done church at home. But I know that my church is conservative. My pastor is conservative. And interesting that you asked me that, though, that he hasn't really reached out. But it's not that I believe that he doesn't care. I don't even know how to answer that question right now that you asked me. I just know that when I was running for borough assembly, I got every bit of support that I needed to stand up with my platform that was very, very conservative, far right conservative.
The only reason I bring that up is too many churches today are worried about numbers.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And they're afraid to offend.
Yes. And, you know, after this call, I'm going to actually call my pastor and get his take on this, because I would like to know how he's feeling about that. Now, I know that right now the program, and I've been having church anyway, his program right now is talking about the mentally disabled and the mentally disturbed. He's got a series that's going on right now to cover this. And I would imagine that it has to do with this movement, to be honest. But I'm excited now to have that conversation with him to see, you know, what is he thinking and what is he teaching and what's behind that teaching? Because, I mean, he seems like he's lining up with what's going on right now, trying to explain to people why people are dysfunctional, and then trying to help them get perspective to find ways to heal themselves and to get help.
Yes.
So yeah. I'm excited about this next conversation.
Well, I'm going to make sure that we reach out and talk to you again, because I want to hear about this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
This
Easter, I was appalled because, you know, we were also warned in scripture, you know, that many of the churches would let us down. And we're starting to see that too. This Easter, there was loads of churches that were like, we're not going to talk about Calgary. We're not going to mention the blood of Jesus. We're not going to talk about the cross. And I'm like, well, that's kind of what Easter's all about, our salvation. You know what I'm saying? The greatest man in the world that died so we had a chance to go to heaven. And they won't talk to it. Why? Because they don't want to offend people. We want to bring more people in the church. Mm-hmm. Look, you know what? Don't worry about not offending them next week. This is Easter.
Yeah.
Just, you know what I'm saying? But even then, you need to be bold. You know, like I said, Christ would welcome anybody. If Christ didn't even go to church, he did his, you know, thing out in the land, like, you know, we all should be doing. But if you're going to church, if Christ was there, he would accept anyone into the church, because there's no better place to be if you're a sinner, because this is how you learn. This is how you grow. And you can't walk on eggshells not to offend people. Look, the Bible may be offensive to a lot of people, but but that's what wakes you up. And God doesn't ask much from us, and he doesn't owe us anything. He has given us more than we ever deserved. You know what I'm saying? So we can at least be reverent. And as a preacher, as a reverend, as a pastor, they have an obligation, and they're not fulfilling their obligation at this point whatsoever in many of these churches. So I like the small churches better than anything. And this is why I like, shows that you can go to on podcasts and stuff, because a lot of people are starting to find Jesus in a major way, quicker than ever before. I feel that we're in the middle of a revival. And, so this is where we need to up our game and just be ready to talk to people. That's one of the reasons, one of the main reasons that I started Kilted Christian, because I am not a seasoned Christian. I could know scripture a whole lot better than I do, but I want people to feel comfortable walking on their journey, because God put us together for a reason, to unify, to help each other understand scripture a little bit better. And some people are doing better jobs than the people that went to seminary school. Matter of fact, if I hear you went to seminary school, I'm probably going to go somewhere else, because I know firsthand at this point how indoctrinated even the people that go to seminary school are. My uncle was the dean of administrations of the divinity department at Duke University, okay? And he passed away, sadly, from the shot. He ended up getting Alzheimer's, but he didn't leave too long before the valedictorian was still one of his students, And she went up there and was talking some blasphemous stuff. And it broke my heart because I know that that was my uncle's program. And I was so disappointed in that. But that's the thing is, like, I want some grassroots. I want grassroots preachers. I want people that read that scripture, understand, because they have the Holy Spirit within them. You know, the 501c3. And this is the biggest thing, too, is because the government has control over you. And, you know, we need to break free of that. We need to stand out underneath a hand-built little shed and just have a community church talking to one another without the government involvement, because the government is going to make sure that you don't tell people the truth.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm going to mention that for Easter this year, well, my husband and I have always gone downtown on the river. I think it was in the teens on Easter Sunday, but we go down there and they have a beautiful service on the bridge right downtown. And so it was the word just penetrated my soul, because they did talk about Jesus. They did talk about the cross. They did talk about the resurrection. And I love that. A day doesn't go by that I don't have my devotion, whether it's Sunday or Monday or what day of the week. It doesn't matter. But it's important that we do take time to feed our own souls, you know, just with the word. And but I do want to comment on what you were saying a few minutes ago about two males can't produce children, two females can't produce children. Mm-hmm. They're just, so if you go back, I mean, I can go back to when I was a little kid. I could go back to when I was a little kid, when the government got involved and was offering women money to have more kids. But the only way you're going to get the money is to not live with your husband. That was a separation. That was in the 70s. Wow. And so families split, even though the husband would come into the family or the daddy baby. But the women would, the more children they had, the more money they would get from the government. But you had to not allow the man in the home. And that was so prevalent to me, so real. I was in third grade when I remember that. So when you talk about that, it takes me over to, if you go in the 80s, look, I think 84, Bill Gates and Fauci having conversations about depopulation, you know, taking our population from, at that time, I think it was 7.2 billion in the world, down to 800 million people it's genocide. I mean, and they even went over to Africa and gave all the women shots so they couldn't have babies. I mean, there's just so much history, you know what I'm saying? And so, but it's, you know, the people who needed to know to stop this, some, which I personally feel the white hats, no matter how anybody feels right now, I'll say it out loud. I feel the white hats are really in charge in a bigger way than what it appears to be. And that would be the generals that have been brought up since President Kennedy's assassination, by the way, by our CIA government. President Bush Sr. was actually head of the CIA at the time. And so these things occurred. And so in the 80s, 84, I believe, you can find videos where Bill Gates and Fauci are talking about depopulating. And so when it makes all the sense in the world what's happening now because of that. But like I said, I think that the generals that were behind Kennedy that have come up since then, the military and the commander in chief, you can use your own imagination for that. I believe they're really in charge, and they have. And you know what? I don't know if you caught the clip. It was sometime after the election in 2020. President Trump made a statement, and it was rather encouraging about realizing the crimes that had been going on in the back office. Like, he didn't realize. It's almost like, don't quote me on this, but almost like he could have taken office, but because of all the, he didn't realize how deep rooted the deep state was. Yes. And so he could have taken a handful of people up in the White House, but it was so massive it would have probably, in my opinion, I'm back to my opinion, is had he taken office when he could have possibly taken office, because we know there was ballot harvesting and everything else that happened and occurred then. But it was at that time, had he taken office, I think we would have had another civil war. And go ahead.
You were talking our language right now. I agree with you 100%. And this is one thing that Steve and I focused on a while. Matter of fact, during that election with Biden and Trump, Steve and I were live for about 11 hours, 12 hours, something like that. Mm-hmm. We had a long show and we were so demoralized after that evening. And, you know, as you know, I've had time to digest. I've had time to watch this administration. Nobody, not Q, you know, other than God, nobody could wake people up quicker than this administration is. And then you look at how awkward some people look. Like my mom all the time goes, that doesn't look like so-and-so. Is he wearing a mask? My mother's in her 70s and is like literally catching what we, you know, starting to sound like me a little bit.
not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing. You know, but the thing is though, is that I go back and forth on this all the time. And, you know, I've said it today. They're making some really stupid mistakes. This administration is, even for their campaign and stuff. And I'm like, there's no way they can be this dumb. Like everything that they're doing is only giving more support. But one thing that I'm noticing recently is that we still are under this idea that there's a two-party system that you know, they're opposite sides, but they're kind of a uniparty we're hearing about. And the a lot of the Democrats are waking up and they're coming over. The hardcore progressives, the ones you're never going to wake up, they're just going to sleep through the storm. God can come down there, tell them the truth and show them miracles and they'll still deny it. But you also had to wake up the conservatives too and realize that our people aren't all on our side. And right. I think that's part of it right now, is that we're starting to see that there's even deception within the conservative, the Republican Party that we needed to see. So this was a multifaceted thing. And I do question this often. Right. My faith always lies in God first and foremost, mm-hmm. even if I, Absolutely. And I will vote for Trump. I'll tell you that right now. I will vote for Trump, but I'm still going to be optimistically cautious. And the moment that God's like, okay, red flag pointed out to me, I'm listening to the Heavenly Father over anything else. The problem is that the devil is not just a deceiver. He's the great deceiver. And, mm-hmm. you know, we could be under all kinds of stuff right now, but, you know, I do feel that, you know, that Trump and the white hats, and I do believe that stuff's legit. There's a lot of things that I know, personally. Steve knows a little bit because I was in and out of the country, off and on for a while. So I've seen things with my own eyes that can verify that there is in fact something going on behind the scenes. One day I'll be able to talk about it. I thought I'd already be able to talk about it, but it hasn't transpired yet. But I know with my own eyes that there is in fact some things going on in the background that many people can't see.
Well, what you just did is you gave people hope by saying that out loud. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have, even if it's just little pieces of information that give people hope that you can validate in your soul. You need to do that. I mean, we need to do that. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. You know, this is one of those things, like I said, is I have to be quiet, obviously, because of what I saw, sensitive information. The reason that I used to work at one place, and then I am a filmmaker now, the two things, the degrees that I have kind of combined within one another. So it allowed me to do this position. You know, and even Steve knows very, very little about the big picture because I'm not allowed to talk about the details, but nonetheless, this isn't hearsay. Like I said, this is my own two eyes have seen some stuff.
I even helped you get that job.
He did. He was the one that told me about it at first. Literally, it even said Guantanamo. I thought I was going to Guantanamo, but I didn't end up in Guantanamo.
Yeah. Real quick though, you know, one of the things that was stated that it had to get worse before it got better. Mm-hmm. So in this last 3.5 years, we have seen worse by far. And what has happened in this last 3.5 years has also exposed both sides as a one party system. The elites that are in control, that control the puppeteers, control both sides of the story and the politics. And it's exposing both for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'll never forget the moment when Trump, just before leaving office, he was in the foyer of the White House with his family, and it appeared like at least 100 generals standing behind him. Do you remember that picture?
Absolutely.
And he mentions the storm, and someone says, "What do you mean the storm,
You'll
President?"
Find out.
And he responds with a very stern, very
cool,
very stoic face. You'll see.
Yep.
He doesn't need to explain himself. He knows. We know as a people. We know that everything that's being exposed, it's just so terrifyingly wrong. You know, for our children that are so ignorant to, because they're not being educated in the schools, you know that. And so they don't know about the history. They don't know about their forefathers. They don't know about Christ. And so, I mean, like you said, we've had the flags taken down, we don't do the Pledge of Allegiance now. And so I actually sub in our schools up until now. I haven't since COVID intentionally. Well, I did some in COVID, but I walked in the room, and if those children were not ready to do their Pledge of Allegiance, I taught them their Pledge of Allegiance.
Good for you.
They had to stand with their hands on their heart, and I got criticized for it. And I remember there was a Black Lives Matter flag in one room, along with a rainbow flag. I mean, I went straight to the principal and had conversations, but you know what? They're inundated too with the lies, and it's just like they're little minions following blindly, without even knowing that they're destroying our children. It's the saddest darn thing for me.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
Firsthand in the schools, you know.
And we're watching a repeat of 2020 in many ways. So, you know, right now they're trying to push the avian flu, bird flu scare. It's COVID. Remember, COVID was during the election time last time. They're pushing bird flu this time. Remember, George Floyd happened during that time. Well, today there was a young Black man that was pulled over by the police. He literally opened up a full magazine on the police. And then the police opened up their full magazines back on the kid. This is what the headline said. This is what the news did today. They said, you know, I can't remember the kid's name, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. Young Black man gets killed in traffic stops as officers shooting 95 times. But they failed to mention or show the video of the kid literally opening up his full magazine with his gun first. So they're trying to repeat. This is where we're going to see Antifa and Black Lives Matters in the streets. And probably a lot of these immigrants that have come into this country are sleepers that are waiting for their orders as well.
Exactly.
My brother Jeff said something that was just kind of blew my mind. And I was like, I can't believe I hadn't thought about that. So, you know, over the last couple of years, especially since Biden's gotten in, they've had this turn your gun in and we'll give you gift cards or money push. So he was like, what if, and this is a good what if those people that turned in their guns, those guns are being handed over to these sleeper cells that are in this country right now, and your name is still tied to that gun?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is an interesting consideration.
They just took New Zealand, you know, after that shooting, that church shooting, in which it was a false flag, took away everyone's guns. And that's where all the elites are moving to and building compounds underground, bolt holes.
Okay, those are all over the place.
Yeah.
Boy, we could sure get into politics here, huh?
Oh, we can. You know,
we could segue into that if you're ready.
But we got, just to give you guys an idea on time, because I've enjoyed this conversation so much, we literally have about 12 minutes left in the show.
Oh, wow.
I love this. I mean, time, not that the time's about expired, but I love that it was so great having a conversation with you guys that time has flown. That's a good thing.
I don't know what your schedules are tomorrow, but I have not planned a show specifically for tomorrow yet. if you guys want to come back and join me for another show,
Part two,
we could go on
So I'll have to get back to you on that, because I do have some things on my schedule. But let me say this, you know, before I close the book on this transgender movement, it isn't about the transgenders. Mm-hmm. You know, they are lovely people. I mean, I have friends that are non-binary. You know, you can call lay, gay, lesbian, transgender. I have friends on every corner, and I love that. And we just have to remember that this is a movement for our future generations.
Yeah, it's good versus
and
evil.
For our children today, if we do not get a handle on this now, we have a bigger problem when we're trying to, like, you give a kid, you don't discipline them when they're young. By the time they're 16, they're against you, just like you're talking about the university kids coming home. So it's the same thing. If we don't teach them well now, they will not have a value system. They won't understand the Ten Commandments. They will not understand right from wrong. But, you know, I wanted to mention that several days ago, I had learned that I think it was Sacramento, California, their council had voted in favor of sanctuary cities for transgender. What the heck is that? I mean, like, they need a sanctuary city?
I know.
Anyway. Well,
just real quick on that, it's less than 1% of the population. So not even less, it's less than half of a percent mm-hmm. of the population. So you're subjugating 99.7% in a city to follow a new mandate.
Yeah.
So even besides that, I will add this, is that I talked about cisgender a little bit ago, and cisgender is where somebody identifies with the sex that they were assigned to at birth. That's what that means. And then we have the transgender. And right now, the studies that I found is that there's about 13 million adult transgenders, which is, like you said, less than 1% of the population. But then we have these youths coming up, and it's 5% of the youths between the ages of 13 and 18 that are identifying as transgender, mm-hmm. non-binary or non-binary. So in my opinion, this is too young. These children are too young to be making sexual change decisions on their own. So, you know, and I said earlier that some of these kids identify as fluid gender, where sometimes they're male, sometimes they're female, and they literally are confused about who they are when they're doing those things. And so I wanted to note, too, that in 2024, state legislators wrote 500 bills on restrictions for where transgender could get in bathrooms or sports. And so what I found out from that is that I think since March 2024, there's been about 189 of those bills that are proposals that have advanced through the courts, but there's only 15 of those proposals that have actually been enacted. And so this is a message for everyone out there. You're responsible. If you want to make a decision and you want to make a mark during a season in history, then I would encourage you to write to your legislators. The bathroom bill needs to be implemented in every state across the board. I'd kind of like to be able to help in that. I'm praying about that, actually. But what that says is that depending on your born gender identity would determine what bathroom you would be required to go in. You're born male or you're born female, you use those bathrooms accordingly. Mm-hmm. Now, that is one of the best bills that I think that's the beginning of every state. So I want to encourage everybody out there listening today to reach out to your legislators and ask them to write the bill, take it to, you know, our where our legislators meet are in Juneau for a vote and to get it enacted in your state. And what does that do for you? Number one, it helps to preserve women's rights and to protect children. It's what mm-hmm. it does. And everything else that falls in line from that is just good. And this left side that's far left, not everybody on the left side of the fence don't see clearly on the right, But the far left has such an agenda to shut down the healthy mentality of our children and our communities and our cities and our states and then our country. And we have to be active now. We can't let these movements just die out. We have to be proactive. Yes. What can I do? Well, and that's one thing you can do as a citizen is to reach out to your legislators and get that bathroom bill enacted. Secondly, for this Planet Fitness scenario, I would encourage you to picket the properties. And where New Hampshire is making their stand to create a third bathroom for women rather than transgender non-binary, say no to it.
Yeah.
If you're in New Hampshire, say, heck no, I am not going to agree to that. And I'll never get my Planet Fitness again, done with it. So that's how you can make a stand. And you can also take my videos and forward them. Wherever somebody has put one out there, just keep forwarding it out so that more people can understand this chaos, this wrongfulness that's happening to our children. And it always goes back to our children and women's rights. And get behind these sports enthusiasts and stop this transgender in the system. So that's my take on it.
For my part in closing, I just want to applaud you. I lift you up and I pray for you. I'm just stunned at what had happened. And I never knew or could have imagined that it just basically a man could be in a women's locker room and do what he did, of whether he relates as a LBQ, whatever. I applaud you for your stance and you're staying steadfast and keeping your video up. I mean, you haven't taken your video down. I'm stunned that Facebook hasn't taken you down, to be honest. But I thank you for...
I don't know how they're not doing it either.
So I thank you for coming on our show. And before Duncan closes us out, I know you had something that you wanted to read.
I would like to read this, and I would like for everybody to own it. And I'm going to be looking down to read it, so please don't think I'm not looking you straight in the eyes, because I am. And I could say I, but I'm going to say we, because I believe this is anyone who wants to be protected by the enemies of this world would say, I put on my full armor of God. We put on our full armor of God so that when adversity comes, we will be able to stand our ground. And after we have done everything to stand, we will continue to stand firm. We will stand with the belt of truth buckled around our waist. We will stand with the breastplate of righteousness in place. And we will keep standing with feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, we will stand up and take the shield of faith. We will take the helmet of salvation and we will take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we will continue to pray also, Lord God, that whenever words come out of our mouths, words may be given to us so that we will be fearless.
Thank
you. Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You don't realize. Oh, my pleasure, man. It was great having you on. And Patricia, you don't realize this, but on the intro of my show, at every single opening, it starts off with put on the full armor of God and stand against the wiles of the devil.
Amen. Well, then this is a wonderful way to end this session.
Amen.
Thank you.
Before I go to prayer, I just want to thank, it's been absolutely amazing getting back with Steve. We're getting back into the groove. We'll be doing this every Wednesday. And you have been a pleasure to come on. Your story is amazing. Like I said, you put God as the forefront, which as we all should, any decision that we should make should be around that first and foremost. And then politics and everything else kind of falls into this point. The White Hats may be in control, but Jesus is in control of the White Hats if that is the case. Mm-hmm. And we just need to keep on praying and keep on being active, just like you are right now. You're a great example. you know, let's not worry anymore about the fear they're pushing through with January 6th. That was the whole point of that, was to make us scared, yes, and afraid to get out and do what we have the constitutional right to do. And we have the constitutional right to actually do what they were claiming that we did, an insurrection. We have that, yeah, right according to our Declaration of Independence, but we are calm, yes, people, and we don't want to jump the gun because God has not yet told us to throw the rocks. But the day that he says it's time to throw the rocks, we better stand up and sharpen them, polish them, and get them ready to go and be, all become a bunch of Davids.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That was a great word. Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. And once again, an absolute privilege to have you on. I'd love to get you back on another time. If you're not available tomorrow, we can definitely do so again. I'll certainly get you back on a Wednesday with Steve. Like I said, we're going to pray and we're going to keep praying for you and for this country and for this world, because it's not just our country. It's the entire world going through the same thing. We're just affected by the 50 states that we're dealing with right here. Canada,
yes,
Mexico, Europe, you know, around the world. I mean, everywhere. So,
well, I want to thank you both also. Excuse me, didn't mean to interrupt you, but I need to say this. Thank you so much, both of you, for inviting me to come with this very special presentation. This is extra special because it is your first time getting back together after, you know, quite a while.
3.5 years.
And so, yes, that is such a blessing. And I am truly, truly honored. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you, Patricia.
So we're going to get into a little bit of prayer. The most important thing we can do, we've got a lot of things that God gives us, and prayer is one of the big ones. So if everybody would please bow their heads, we will pray ourselves out. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for another day. Father, you give us way more than we deserve, and we thank you for that. You loved us when we didn't deserve your love. And you love us as much today, dear Lord, and you guide us every day. You give us everything that we need, from mending our armor to the discernment that we pray for, the wisdom that we seek, the courage that we're going to need more and more as we move into these chaotic times. And Father, I just thank you for granting and showing us all of these miracles daily that just show and prove that you are the creator of this world. Dear Lord, when people come up to us in doubt, let us have the answers to be able to speak to them so that they start seeking what we have. Not necessarily through our words, but by the fruits that we bear, dear Lord. Let them see our hearts. Let them see our souls. But when they see those, let them see you within us. Father, we are far from perfect. We're all sinners, dear Lord, which is why we repent every single day. But you love us anyways, dear Lord, and we are working every moment to become better people. Dear Lord, I thank you for giving us today so that we can continue to serve you. And if you so bless us with another day tomorrow, let us make every second count. Let us learn to listen to you a little bit better than we have so that we can do exactly what you need during these times. Because as chaotic as things are, they're going to get more so. But Father, you are going to get us everything that we need, every weapon we need in order to navigate these times. And when you send us on a mission, Father, I know that you are with us from the beginning to the very end. And I'm thankful for that. And that gives us all just the most amazing comfort. Father, I ask that you continue to pray for all the people right now that are in need of your prayers, dear Lord. There's so many people that are sick. And I ask you, Lord, that you pray for Larry. He's going to be going through some surgery here soon. And you just bless him, help him get through this surge without a problem, dear Lord. I ask that you continue to bless our brother, Steve Cusick, who we are so used to having in chat. He's one of our great hosts, welcoming to everybody who had his foot removed, dear Lord. And I ask that you literally help him get back onto his feet. Continue to bless him, calm him, and keep him patient. Nobody wants to be in the hospitals, dear Lord, so just help, just be with him always until he can get back on his feet and start walking again. Father, bless his family who's been there with him the whole time. Dear Lord, bless all the people. Punky Puster, who's having an issue right now with her own life, and her father, who is ready to pull the plug and move on, dear Lord. And when that time comes, dear Lord, I ask that you let it be as peaceful as possible. Comfort the family. Let them rejoice in the life that he had, dear Lord, not the passing. Open your arms, dear Lord, and accept him to heaven, as I'm sure he'll have a new job watching over all of us, dear Lord, as we are down here going through our own missions. But Father, I want to thank you just for everything that you bless us with. All the things that we know, all the things we take for granted because we're just so used to them, dear Lord. Everything in our life is a miracle. Just the fact that I got to walk up and hug my mother, pet my dog, and breathe today is a miracle that we take for granted because we see it all the time. But Father, those are just as beautiful, dear Lord. So thank you for the reminders. Dear Lord, continue to let us be selfless. Let us drop the ego and realize that helping others is helping ourselves as well, dear Lord. But harming others is harming ourselves. Dear Lord, let us focus on what we need to, your righteousness, your glory, the mercy that you have given us, dear Lord. Let us become more Christ-like every single day. We're never going to be the sin-free people like you were that walk this earth, dear Lord, but we are striving at this time in our lives to earn our way into heaven. And I know you didn't ask us to, dear Lord. You asked us to accept you into our hearts, which we have. You asked us to spread the gospel, dear Lord. But as Christians, as followers of you, we want to step up and do everything that we can. We want to earn our way into heaven. So, dear Lord, let us all stand up. Let us hold this line. Let us do everything that we can to protect the children and the values that you have given on this earth, dear Lord. Because even after we leave this earth, our children are going to carry everything on, and they need to carry it on a way that you want us to, with your integrity, your virtues, and your love. Thank you, Father, for everything. In Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, guys,
thank you.
Once again, thank you so much, Steve. It was awesome being back in here. I'm looking forward to the Wednesdays. And Patricia, God bless you.
Thank you. Great show.
Everyone really enjoyed the conversation. I know you can't watch the chat, but everybody was really enjoying this conversation. I know they'll look forward to having you come back here as well.
Well, I look forward to it, but thank you guys again. I am so honored. Over the top
honored. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you again, and thank you, everybody. And I look forward to this renewed journey. It's not a new journey. It's a renewed journey.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, we've been in contact the whole time. It's been a while since we haven't done the show. You know what I'm saying? So it's good.
I notice I have to clean the dust off of this stuff back here because I haven't sat in this seat in three years.
Oh, I know. So,
well, you see that dust? You told on yourself.
I know. I'm okay with that. So it's good to know that nothing's changed. The backdrop hasn't changed. And I look forward to creating new.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Well, God bless you both. And everyone out here in chat on Rumble and on Podbean, thank you for everything you do. I love you all so much. You guys are an absolute blessing. Thank you for letting me be part of your family. We are here together, and I'm going to say the same thing that I usually end the show with, but since I'm changing things up a little bit and ending with the national anthem, I'll do it now. God wins.
Hello.
So fear not, stress not. Let go of all of your anxiety. Pray, pray, pray. Spread that gospel from nation to nation. Accept what God gives you on this journey because he is with us the entire time. I love you all with all of my heart. Have an absolutely beautiful night. God bless, and I leave you with the national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag